Let us open up to Matthew chapter 6, verse 9 to 13 once again. And this time we'll be looking at the fourth petition called, Give Us This Day Our Daily Bread. So if you're able, please rise for the reading of God's Word. And let us read this out loud together like a prayer. And at the end, when I say, this is the word of the Lord, we say, thanks be to God. So here it is, Matthew chapter 6, verse 9 to 13. Pray then like this. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread and forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. You may be seated. So I want to open up with a little story of what happened back in university days. So I used to work at Honolulu, Hawaii for about 4 months for co-op. You can imagine what that would have been like. Yes, the beaches were nice, right? I used to bike to work. So it was like the best commute I had. In fact, the streets would be lined up with like tropical trees. There were actually mango trees in one street that they actually had mangoes that you could just pick off and just eat off the street. But the thing was, my pay was only $500 per month. Okay, that's not a lot, right? It was a startup company, and though they provided for housing, to be honest, the pay was lousy. So I had to stretch out what I had, right, to get by each month. And one of the ways that I did was to buy bread in the morning on my way to work. Because there was this bakery right across from where I worked, where they sold all sorts of food, bread. And I remember that they had a baguette, which was pretty long, about that big, right? For $2.03. I still remember the price because, that's how much I would prepare each day to go there. And I went there every morning, right? Except when weekends, then I had to starve. No. But I went there each morning, got a baguette, and then, divided that into threes for morning, lunch, and dinner. Now, the bread back then was, bread in Hawaii is actually crazy expensive. So $2.03 was a steal. If you ever go to Hawaii, you would see that these fruit, right, tropical fruits are dirt cheap. But bread is super expensive. In fact, it was so expensive that, during my honeymoon in Hawaii, we couldn't buy bread. We bought those Pillsbury croissants in a can and baked that in the place that we were staying for bread, right? Again, they were super expensive. But again, this $2.03 bread is what kept me going. And honestly, it was one of the best breads that I've had in my life because you go, if you guys ever had those fresh breads out of the oven, right? You know what it is? The crunch that comes from the baguette as it's opening and then you get that steam coming off, right? It's really good. Right? But that's what kept me going, right? This was my daily bread, literally, and it got me through those tough times. Today's topic is Give Us This Day Our Daily Bread. And this is perhaps the favorite part of the Lord's Prayer for many people. In fact, this is the reason why most people begin to pray. They start by asking God to provide for them, right? For their needs. But you will soon realize that this is a much deeper prayer than meets the eye. Because it has to do with our bodies, right? But also with our soul and our neighbor's well-being. You see already, it's just more than our needs. You will see that you could spend a lot of time in this prayer, not because you have to go through your list of wants and needs, but because you want to see how God will answer your prayers. Today, I want to go through this by going through the three key words in this petition. So I know I'll build on top of each, right? It goes bread, then daily bread, and our daily bread. So give us this day our bread, give us this day our daily bread, and give us this day our daily bread. So first, bread, right? What is the prayer about? It's about our necessities. And notice that it's give us this day our daily bread though, right? Not daily cake, bread. Why is that? Because bread is the most basic food for most cultures. Like for the Jews, like Jesus here, right? Bread was and still is the basic food on the table. In fact, many cultures still consider bread to be a staple food. Right? Now, if Jesus had come from Asia, for example, right, let's pretend for a moment, that he would have taught this Lord's Prayer as, give us this day our daily bowl of rice, maybe. And if you were from Ireland, right, give us this day our daily spuds. The point being that whether it's bread or rice or potato, Jesus is talking about our basic needs. Bread gives us energy and strength to live. It also helps us grow. And we gotta eat every day. And God knows that we need them. So in Matthew chapter 4, for example, we see Jesus fasting for 40 days. And it says that he was hungry. I'm sure that was an understatement. He was probably starving, right? Like, I don't know about you, but if I don't eat for like 4 hours even, I start getting hungry, maybe hangry even. 4 days, like that's, I don't know how I could do that. 40 days, right? That's extreme. He knows what hunger is like. And he knows that we need bread, right? Not bread alone, but we do need bread. In fact, out of all the religions, Christianity is the most grounded religion because it means that Christianity cares about the earth, cares about the body, cares about here and now and what's to come. God cares about our bodies. The fact that we will have resurrected bodies tells us that our bodies matter to God, and God is its provider. In the Garden of Eden, right, back in Genesis, before sin had entered the world, everything was provided for. God had created all these fruit-bearing trees for people to eat, right? And all they had to do was just pick it off. They didn't have to do much work there. But once sin entered the world, there was frustration in work. We had to work hard, work with sweat, and it wasn't even guaranteed that fruit of the labor would come about. There will be thorns and thistles, frustration and disappointments. And guys, students, the reason why you study so hard and the marks don't come out the way you expect is because of this, okay? All the work that you put in, it doesn't come about 100%. Eating and surviving became hard. Yet God continued to faithfully provide for his people. And what that tells us is that God knows we need things like bread to live, right? He gives it to us to sustain us, to give us strength, but also to give joy. You see, James says in his epistle, he says, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow due to change. Meaning he is faithful. He gives these things faithfully. And the fact that food gives us comfort and pleasure tells us that not only are they necessities, but they are good gifts that we can enjoy. And these come from God. So what should we pray for? To be honest, most of us here are not worried about our daily bread. Right? In fact, we have more than bread available to us. We can even pick and choose what kind of bread we eat. We have refrigerators, pantries, and other means of getting the food that we need. So what are we to pray for? Let me read you a verse from Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 18 in the Old Testament. It says, "You shall remember the Lord your God, for it is he who gives you power to get wealth." Okay? He gives you the power to get wealth, that he may confirm his covenant that he swore to your fathers as it is this day. What does that mean? We're not only praying for the bread to eat, right? God, give us bread. But we also for the means to earn our bread. We can pray for the strength and energy to work, for wisdom and insight, for opportunities and for help. And that's why as students, you guys can pray to God to help you in studying. God, I need to do well on this test. Yes, it's okay to ask him for prayer, right? In prayer. We can be praying for God to meet our ends. And yes, there are times when we need to do that. When we don't have that opportunity, when we don't have certain skills that we need, and we're going hungry, we're at the end of the roads, we're hopeless, we can pray that God will give you what you need. Then we can also pray for God to give us the means to make those ends meet. right? Meaning, God, give us the strength. Give me the skills that I need, and so on. Whatever it is that you need, you can ask God. Right? He's a Father who wants to give us what we need. So I want to encourage you this morning to come to God with your list of help that you need. It's okay. He can help. Now, remember what Jesus said just before teaching this prayer. It says, Matthew 6, chapter, verse 8 to 9, He said, "Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask Him. So pray then like this, and our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name." God knows what you need. It's okay to ask God for what you need, and it's okay to enjoy the good gifts that He gives. Right? As parents, we know this too. We don't just always give kids only the things that they need. We also give them gifts because we want them to be happy. And we know that when their needs are met, that gives us joy as well. Now, if God blesses you with wealth, right, thanks to your hard work, then it's okay to enjoy it. I believe that God wants to bless you with many good things, but He also knows that just like any good parents, right, too much of a good thing could spoil us, could ruin our character, and even our relationship with them. So God in His infinite wisdom will give us what we need without spoiling us, without ruining us. Now at the same time, what that means is that we should not forget to thank them in thanksgiving. Right? Some people argue that you should put thanksgiving in this petition. And yes, you can thank God again. I mean, it's never a wrong time to thank God. So yes, you can thank Him here. You can thank Him in the beginning. But just like how we give thanks before eating our food, we should give thanks for what God provides. If He provided you with what you need, give thanks. If God gave you the skills, the resources, the opportunities to make ends meet, give thanks. If God gave you more than just daily bread, give thanks. And we must remember that they are all from God. Now, you may know this person, Arnold Schwarzenegger, right? He once gave a speech at a convocation. And it's just like a 1 minute clip, but listen to what he says, right? If you guys don't know Arnold Schwarzenegger, because you were too young to watch The Terminator, for example, right? He's a very famous bodybuilder who became an actor, later the governor of California, right? And he's, a famous celebrity overall. And here is what he says.
I came over here with absolutely nothing. I had $20 in the pocket and some sweaty clothes in a gym bag. But let me tell you, I had this one little apartment, and on Thanksgiving, the bodybuilders from Gorge Gym came to my apartment and they brought me pillows, dishes, silverware, all of the things they didn't have. I always tell people that you can call me anything that you want, but don't ever, ever call me a self-made man. And it gives the wrong impression that we can do it alone. None of us can. The whole concept of the self-made man or woman is a myth. I would have never made it in my life without the help. So this is why I don't believe in a self-made man. Why I want you to understand that is because as soon as you understand that you are here because of a lot of help, then you also understand that now is time to help others.
I want to say amen to that. Right? Again, that is what we need to know. We are here because of God's daily bread. Whether it was through the help of others or through God providing the means of earning what we have, like the talents that you have and the opportunities that you had and so on, they're all thanks to God. And as we will discuss later, right, we also have been given the responsibility to help others. It is amazing how God provides for our needs in ways that we could not even imagine. For example, on one particularly difficult Sunday morning back in our old theater there, right, I was praying to God that He would encourage us, that He will provide for us, that He will give us some sort of hope, just showing that He still cares and loves us. And that morning, a friend of mine who lives in Ottawa, right, who used to live in Vancouver, but he moved to Ottawa, visited our church. Now, I knew that he was back in town because, I saw his Instagram and so on, and saw that he was meeting all these people. And I hesitated to message him, right? Because I knew that he was going to be busy meeting all his family and friends. So, it'd be great if I could meet him. If not, that's too bad. But to my surprise, he visited our church saying that it was actually on his bucket list. And at the end, I was you know, joy from seeing him, but at the end, he pledged to support our church financially by sending his offerings to our church. Now, more than the amount that he gave, the fact that God answered my prayer in the most unexpected way that morning, that quickly, is what revived me. Right? The answer that morning was like a bread for a weary soul. And I was reminded of what Jesus said in the same sermon, the Sermon on the Mount, right after the Lord's Prayer. Right? In just the next chapter, this is what he said. He said, "Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and the one who seeks finds, and to the one who knocks it will be opened. Or which one of you, if his son asks him for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a serpent? If you then who are evil know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give good things to those who ask him?" Right, let me just quickly go over those three verbs there too. Ask. Right? Jesus tells us to be aware of our needs and ask God humbly and he will give. Seek. Right? Jesus tells us to actively search for God's will in all this. Right? After you pray, after you ask, seek it out to see where his answer is coming from and we will find it. And knock. Right? Jesus tells us to be persistent, to persevere. Keep on knocking. And sometimes answers will come right away, but sometimes they take time, even years sometimes. And the fact that these verbs come in active present tense means that this can be written as ask, seek, knock, or keep on asking, keep on seeking, keep on knocking. It takes persistence. He doesn't want us to just ask and be done with it. He wants us to keep on coming to him and asking. Because what happens is when you ask again and again, sometimes your prayers will change. You will start realizing how you ought to be praying instead of what you've been praying all this time. But we know that the Father is infinitely more good than any human father. And there's no good father here that would not give his children what they need. So what do you need? Ask him prayer. But here's the thing, be specific. Let me repeat that. Be specific when you pray. You don't know whether something is an answer from God or not unless you've been praying. Those people who say that they feel that God is leading them here or that, you know, here or there are those people who constantly pray to God. They are asking and seeking for God's answer. Like if I told you the number 10, right now, you probably don't know what that means. Is it 10 o'clock? Is it 10 minutes to like the end of the sermon? What does that mean? What's 10? Unless you have been asking God, what is the answer to, you know, 5 plus 5? I know you don't need to ask that, but you know, let's say, you know, what is it, God? Like, what's 5 plus 5? And all of a sudden you hear 10. You know that's an answer, whereas some other people have no idea what that means. You don't know something is an answer from God unless you ask him. A lot of the times when I ask someone for their prayer request, they answer generally. Like, you know, I want to follow Jesus better. I want to be more like Jesus. I want to be more humble. I want to be more diligent. But what happens then is that God will also answer generally. And you may not even know that God is answering your prayers. The more specific you pray, the more specific your answers will be. For example, I have a pastor friend here in the Lower Mainland. In fact, he's pastoring in a church down in U.S. Minster. He's a fellow church planter in the EFCC. And he became a Christian after God answered a series of prayers. Now, he was not planning on becoming a Christian, you see. He was actually planning on becoming a Buddhist monk. But he was, at the time, studying statistics in UBC. He was a wicked smart guy. Right, he still is, I mean. And he did not believe in the existence of God. But after going to a Christian club, after this friend of his persistently insisted that he comes to this club, right, that he goes to, right, he kept saying no for a year. And then later on, he finally decided to visit. And after hearing the message, he decided to pose a question to God, right? He didn't even know that he was praying. So he's just, in his mind, he told God, "God, if you exist, answer me this question," right? And he posed, let's say, question A to God. Right? And then he was invited to attend a Sunday service for the first time. And so this time he went. And the pastor that Sunday preached on the answer to the question that he was asking. So in his mind, he's like, okay, well, that's a coincidence, right? I asked this to God if he exists to this, and then he answered, right? So he decided to ask God another question, a very specific question. And the next week, in a different Bible study, the Bible study leader was teaching about the answer to his question again. Another coincidence. So this time, he decided to ask God two questions in a row, right? Let's call it question C and D. And that week, he was introduced to the radio Praise 106.5. You guys know this, 106.5 FM. And that, you know, during the daytime, it'll, you know, play a lot of praise. And during the evening, they play a lot of sermons. It's like sometimes even back to back. And in the sermon, as he was driving, he heard the answer to the first question, question C, in the sermon. So he was shocked, he was scared, and he turned off the radio. And then later on, he turned it on and a different sermon was playing. And this time in that sermon, right, the answer to his question D came about. And this kept going 10 times in total. 10 questions, 10 answers. Now, as a statistics student in UBC, he calculated the probabilities of such a series of events happening. And he compared it to the odds of winning the 649 lottery. Now, do you guys know what the odds of winning the 649 lottery? Right, you have 49 numbers, you choose 6 numbers, and if those 6 numbers match, you win, right? The odds of winning the 649 lottery here is 1 in 14 million. Now that number to us seems too big, it doesn't make much sense, but let me put it this way. If you started buying a lottery ticket today, every single day, right, in a year, 365 days a year, let's count leap years as well, and if you did that for 38,000 years, you still might not win. Right? Once out of that 38,000 years, you might win. That's the odds, right? That's the odds of you winning 649 lottery. But here's the thing, okay? The order of that doesn't even matter, right? It's as long as you have the 6 numbers, you're done. When you try to do that in order, right, the probability just gets worse. But here's this man with 10 questions, with 10 answers in sequential order. Right, even the question C and D, it didn't even come like question answer D and answer C. No, it came in order for all 10. And he didn't listen to 100 sermons to find the answer either. He listened to 10 different people and he got those 10 answers. And mathematically, right, he gives the odd of something like 1 in 6 followed by 20 zeros. Okay, he's like, what is that number even? That's 600 quintillion. Like, I know trillion, what's a quintillion, right? That's a quintillion is. That is the same probability as winning the 649 lottery a trillion times. Like, this guy, his name is like a mix of like Chinese name and an Argentinian name. He speaks Argentinian, English, Chinese, but he heard the gospel in all those languages, but it didn't click for him. But here is his real language, math. And God spoke to him that way because he was asking questions. And now he's a pastor, he's a Christian, and he's, you know, trying to bring more people to God. So the point is, be specific in your prayers. If you want to know that God answers your prayer and you want to hear his answers, be specific. Keep on asking, keep on seeking, keep on knocking. And remember this. Remember what James says. He says, you desire and do not have, so you murder. You covet and cannot attain, so you fight and quarrel. You do not have, because you do not ask. You ask and do not receive because you ask wrongly to spend it on your passions. So we talked about that. Ask. We have to ask. Be specific. But we ask and don't receive what we ask for because we ask for the wrong reasons. And now this is why this prayer comes fourth in our Lord's Prayer. Out of the 6 petitions, this is number 4. And the first 3 petitions, our desires align with God's, so that what we desire aligns with God's desires. We ask things for God's glory. We ask things for God's kingdom. We ask things to love God and love our neighbors more, right? Before our list is given to God, some things are being checked off already. Like, this is not what I need. This is not what I need. And by the time we get there, we're going to be praying the things that we need. And the thing is, our Father knows what we need. We think we know what we need, okay? Just like kids, they think they know what they need. But just like how little children really don't know what they need, right? A lot of the times, we don't know what we need either. We might be praying, God, I really need this job. But what you really need, maybe, is peace in your heart, knowing that God cares for you. Right, so the more we ask God specifically, we found out what we really need through God's answers. And when we pray, we will receive what we ask for, or what we should have been asking for in the first place. And that's when we begin to learn more about God's character as we pray. In that regard, there is another bread that we should be asking for. And this is a bread that comes from the mouth of God. In Matthew chapter 4, where I mentioned earlier that Jesus had fasted for 40 days and was very hungry, the devil tempts Jesus to turn a stone into bread. But this is what Jesus says. He answered, "It is written," meaning this is actually in Deuteronomy, "Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God." Again, it doesn't deny the fact that we still need bread, but Jesus says that we also need the word of God. Yes, man needs bread to live, but he also needs the word of God. And the word of God is the bread for our soul. We need it to gain strength for our souls. In fact, the prayers that we'll be learning next week and so on, right? It's about sin and forgiveness and temptation and delivering us from the evil one. All of this takes a lot of spiritual strength. And where we get that strength? From this bread, the word of God. We need this spiritual bread each day, every day, to gain the strength we need to follow Jesus. So again, let me just summarize that before moving on, okay? The bread is what we need, what our physical body needs. It may be what we need to survive. It may be what we need to carry on through the day. It may be what we need to work to earn that bread. But it is also the bread for the soul that we so desperately need to grow in Christ and to find strength to fight the good fight. And we come to the Father and ask Him to give this daily. Which brings us to our next point. This is our daily bread. Now, translators actually struggled with this word daily because it's something called hapoxlegomena. Okay, that's Greek. Yeah, hapoxlegomena is what that means is a word that's only used once in a given context. Like in English, right? Like we need context to know what this word means. Like if I said the word stock, what does that mean? Right? Depending on where I'm saying it from, it could be referring to apple stock, let's say, or it could be chicken stock, like you put in a, you know, broth, right? Or it could be a stock of things like in the inventory. We don't know what it is unless we have a given context. This word is only used once, so we don't really, people had to make their best guesses to what this needs and what this means. And translators have translated this as needed, needful for the current day or for the coming day. So most people do agree that it means that which we need today. And that's why they usually translate it as daily bread. Jesus is teaching us to ask for the bread that is needed for today or for the coming day. And the tone is that is for one day at a time. But why does he teach us that? Why can't we pray for our weekly bread, our monthly bread, or our yearly bread? That would give us a lot of security, wouldn't it? Right? Maybe even, you know, lead us away from temptation. If God just provides ahead of time, we wouldn't have to worry. Like, you read the rest of this chapter in chapter 6, Jesus says, don't be anxious, don't worry about what to eat. Jesus, if you just give us what we need for the week or month, we wouldn't have to. But there's something we should know. You see, God's bread doesn't contain preservatives. It has to be given fresh. Let me ask you a question. Maybe I'll ask the ladies because the Valentine's coming soon, but would you prefer a dozen rows at once or a single stem rose 12 days in a row? What would you prefer? Kind of like not answering, but okay. Thank you. Almost 100% of the time that I ask this question, okay, I didn't ask a whole lot of people whenever I ask, they said number two. Okay? Men, like we guys, like don't understand. Don't you want like a big gift once? No, because they only get to see you and then you're not going to be seen for a while, right? But if you give a single rose 12 days in a row, you get to see them 12 times. And let's be honest, okay? Let's be completely honest for a moment. If God granted us a year's worth of blessing years worth of what we need, frankly, we're not going to be seeking Him that much. We're not going to be praying that much. This is the same reason why we don't give contractors the whole amount in the beginning, because they're not going to get the job done. Remember Proverbs chapter 30, right? Let me just read from verse 9 here. Remove far from me falsehood and lying. Give me neither poverty nor riches. Feed me with the food that is needful for me. That word right there is actually daily bread. Lest I be full and deny you and say, who is the Lord? And lest I be poor and steal and profane the name of my God. The point of making us come to God each day, relying on Him to provide for us, is about building trust. It's about relationship, that's why. When our refrigerators and pantries are full, we feel secure knowing that we won't go hungry for a while. We find security knowing what we have. What gives you that security? Is it your pantry full of food? Is it your bank account? Is it your portfolio, your current job, your family? By praying this prayer, Jesus wants us to put our trust in the Father. Not from knowing that you have a bank account that will keep you afloat for a while, or a job that will give you all that you want and need, but God, who is the giver of all good gifts, a God you can call Father. The goal of this prayer then is to help us say, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Right, that was said by the psalm writer David. And how can he say that? Because he knew that he had a shepherd. God who watches over him, provides for him, protects him, and leads him like how he used to shepherd his sheep. God had tried to teach the Israelites the same truth by providing manna each day. Now, you guys remember the story of manna, the bread from heaven? The Israelites had to trust God each day for God to provide them. He provided them every day. So they had to go out every day to gather this for 40 years. You might think that's kind of troublesome, but at the same time, it shows us that God's been faithful for 40 years. Every morning, they had to go out and gather manna from the ground. And on Fridays, God would give double portions so that they didn't have to go and gather on a Sabbath. Right? God knew what He was doing, and He provided just enough for everyone. Right, God wanted them to trust Him, but as we know, they didn't. In fact, this is what God said to Moses. Then the Lord said to Moses, behold, I am about to rain bread from heaven for you, and the people shall go out and gather a day's portion every day, that, read this carefully, I may test them, whether they will walk in my law or not. What does bread every day have to do with law or trusting God? Right? And here's a thought that I want to share with you. What if all the blessings that God gave you in life, your health, your wealth, your relationships, your connections, are there to test you? To test you whether you trust God more than other things. To test whether you love God more than all other things. And as a sort of detour from the sermon, but also related, I want to ask you this question. Is it okay for Christians to save up for retirement? Because we're learning here, like it almost sounds like we should rely on God for daily bread. And it almost sounds like, you know, when we retire with nothing, God will still provide for us daily. So is it okay for them to save up for retirement or not? Some would argue that it's okay, and some would argue that they shouldn't and give away everything. Now, I want to do a whole sermon on this topic one day, but for now, I want to give you just a series of questions to ask yourself. These questions will help you see where you're at in your relationship with God and with money. Okay? And I did place a handout with these questions and verses outside so that you can take it home and just read over it, read the verses where these questions are coming from as well. But let me ask you this question again. In order to answer the question, is it okay for you to save up for retirement? Let me ask these questions for you. Do you honor God with your wealth by giving for the kingdom now? Are you generous to the poor now? Is God still your number one? Is earning more money your number one goal right now? Can you still be content if God decided to take away your wealth? Does your self-worth come from your wealth? Is it okay for you to earn money no matter the method? Do you often compare yourself to others and what they have? Do you often think about making money more than any other thoughts? Do you find security in your wealth or in God? And can you still be generous as you save? Do you enjoy blessing others with your wealth? Can you gain your wealth through honest means? And how much of your money goes to the kingdom's cause? If God tells you to give away all your wealth, can you? And do you find that money is a form of temptation to you? Are you taking care of your church family / community? And when is it more than enough? And do you still seek God even when you're not in need? And can you use your resources for the kingdom cheerfully? And are you content right now? I'm not gonna lie, these are some tough questions to ask yourself, to be truly honest about your stance on against money. Because money and wealth is a complex issue. Okay? It is neither good nor evil. It is merely a tool that we can use to do good or to cause evil. The Bible doesn't say that the money is the root of all evil. It says that the love of money is the root of all evil. In fact, the love of anything other than God would be the root of all evil. Asking questions like these will help you get a sense of how much is your daily bread and how much you can give generously to others for their daily bread. Now back to what we were talking about. We were talking about manna, the bread from heaven, and Jesus came, the true manna from heaven, to teach us once again to trust in God. And he teaches us to seek God's providence, his blessings, each day. Now one of my favorite phrases in the Bible is, new mercies every morning. And it also comes in the hymn that we sang today. And it actually comes from Lamentations chapter 3, verse 22 to 24. It says, the steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, says my soul. Therefore, I will hope in him. You see, Lamentations is written in the context of the destruction of Jerusalem. In the face of destruction, starvation, and suffering, this is what the author writes. The author gives praise to God out of his trust in God's faithfulness. And we are also to seek new mercies each morning. And so this prayer, give us this day our daily bread, is a gateway to that kind of trust in God. And that trust in God is how we love God, and to trust God is to love God. And when we love God, we are to show that by loving our neighbors. So lastly, let me just end with this. Our daily bread. Notice that the petitions from here to the end of the prayer is all about us. Okay? Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our debts. Lead us not into temptation, deliver us from evil. In fact, before I was ordained, like before I could give a benediction, we used to end our service with the Lord's Prayer. Because what we will be doing as we pray that portion is we're blessing one another. Us. This prayer isn't about me. It's not a prayer to get me ahead of others. It's not a prayer to get more blessings for my life. It's not about competition. It's about us. That means that through this prayer, we're looking after one another. Herman Witsius, a Dutch theologian from the 17th century, argues that our in this prayer teaches us about industry and justice. And just let me just read you a quote from Kevin DeYoung, who introduced me about Herman. He explains that industry, because praying for bread doesn't relieve us of the responsibility to work for that bread. We say our because in an earthly sense, we have earned what God is giving to us. And then justice, because our means we are not looking to take what does not belong to us. In other words, we do not expect to eat by sloth or by theft. Let me summarize that. And that means we are praying this in order to love others. In love for others, let's say. When we pray this, we're caring for others by working hard for others. It reminds us to work hard for others, to earn not just my daily bread, but the daily bread of others that they cannot earn. And we're at the same time, we're praying for justice, that people may not need to steal because they have been provided with. What this teaches me is that when I pray this prayer, I'm not just praying for myself. I am praying for others and their needs. What it also teaches is that when I work to earn my daily bread, and a lot of us actually earn more than our daily bread, I'm not just working for my bread. I am working for our bread. So this prayer is about the well-being of others, not just myself. So when you pray, right, in this prayer, pray for others. Pray for those who ask you to pray for them. Pray for those whom you know that they're in need. Again, Jesus never intended this prayer to be just personal. He won't let us do that. He wants us to love others by praying this prayer. And when we pray this prayer then, our desires once again align with God's desire, who wants to bless and provide for all His creation. And when we pray with others in mind, we must also pray for the bread of life to be in their lives. The bread of life, Jesus, is the bread that we need daily more than any other bread. So let us gladly pray this prayer, not just for ourselves, but for our soul, for our neighbor, for their salvation. So let us pray, give us this day our daily bread, knowing that we have a Father who will gladly provide for us. Let us pray. Father God, we thank You for providing for us. We thank You, Lord God, for allowing us to come with our needs to You, knowing that You're a God who can provide, who would love to provide for us, not just me, but for all of us. So let this prayer be a prayer that leads into more trust in You, knowing that You are God who can be trusted, who is faithful, who never changes, who loves us with steadfast love. And we thank You. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.